session number 21109, reel 1.
Len Harkins, reel 1. So, can you tell me your full name?
Leonard Harkins.
Right, and where were you born?
At Williford Inn, near Taftswell.
And that's in Wales, near?
Tree Forest.
Right, okay. And your date of birth was 12th of May 1922. What did your father do?
Horse dealer.
Uh-huh.
Farmer. Bit of everything, an Irishman.
Oh, right. And what about your mother?
My mother was a Londoner. And her parents were fruit farmers.
Right. And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes. I had one sister, two brothers.
Right. And where did you come in the family?
I was the youngest.
Ah, right. So where did you go to school?
Hawthorne, first of all, which is 4 miles south of Pontypridd, and only about 6 months, and after that, Gwelyr de Garth.
Mm-hmm. And what age did you leave school?
14.
Uh-huh. And what did you do in your spare time when you were a teenager? Did you do sports or...?
Horses, mainly. Rugby, a little football, mainly horses, hunting.
Yeah. And when you left school, what did you go to do then?
I also did quite a bit of boxing in when at school and after school. And when I left school, I worked with my dad on the farm. Did quite a bit of boxing. I was a member of about 4 boxing clubs. Mainly Pontypridd, with the very well-known boxing family, the Moodies, which fought, the eldest fought for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who did he fight?
Who did I fight?
No, who did he fight?
That was before my time, although I fought on a bill as a midget, and I was about 8-9 years of age, I expect. When a South African came over, which trained at the pub that we kept, Benford, South African, which became British heavyweight champion.
So you were quite good then?
Average. I gave an exhibition with Freddie Mills at Warminster, 1942. I fought a man that fought Dick Tiger. Dick Tiger was a very world middleweight champion. A man by the name of Dennis Rowley. But Dick Tiger put Dennis away in 5 rounds, I think.
So boxing was quite a big thing in your life then?
Yes, even in the forces.
Yeah.
So
you stayed working on the farm, did you, until you went to the forces?
Yes.
So how did you come to join up?
Well, I was the only one left out of a bunch of 11 boys that lived locally. And, well, I thought I'd better go and do something about it.
Right. So you volunteered?
No, I didn't volunteer, but I suppose I could have got out on agricultural grounds, but I didn't. My dad was a soldier, so he was all for me to go.
So yeah. Did you get your call-up papers? Or?
Yes, yeah. I had my call-up papers.
Yeah. And where did they say to report to?
Warminster, the 57th Train Regiment.
Right, yeah. So what did you feel about joining up? Did you want to go?
Oh, yes. Yes, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah. On times I had my doubts.
Yeah. Can you remember that journey down to Warminster?
Yes, I met two A lad from Swansea, went by the name of Ken Williams, which did a little boxing, and also another one which was a fairly good rugby player and also did quite a bit of boxing, by the name of Glyn Rees.
So you went down on the train?
Yeah.
What was your arrival like? Were they waiting for you at the station?
Yes. I suppose a group of about 40 altogether. And then we marched from the station at Walmersley to the barracks, which was about, what, 2-3 mile march.
What was your first impression of the place there?
Bit different to being a country lad, and I'd never travelled a lot. Discipline, which you didn't notice straight away, but within a day or so you... and I was a bit headstrong. Didn't like taking orders.
What was the barracks like that you were put in?
Oh, very good. No, they weren't... Yeah, very good facilities.
What, they were wooden buildings, were they? Or?
No, no, quite a big... I forget the name of the barracks. No, all brick-built. Quite a big barracks and, well, excellent conditions.
What had your mother thought about you going off to war?
Well, I also had two half-brothers, which one was a regular soldier, Don, which got killed at Singapore. And another one that had been in the army, but then he was on work of national importance, so he didn't go. But my other brother went, so that was three sons, three of us in the forces. So she wasn't so keen.
So when you got to Warminster, did they issue you with equipment and uniform straight away?
Yeah, within 2 days, I would say, we had a suit. Then it wasn't a blackberry, it was a forage cap, first of all. That's what we had, first of all, which I wasn't keen on, but the berry was a lot better.
Yeah. So how did you settle in to army life? I mean, some people found it quite difficult, didn't they?
Oh, pretty easy, yeah. Within a few days, they ask you what you wanted to do, and I, after making an allowance home, I think my first pay was 4 and 6 a week, which you couldn't do a lot with. And I wanted to be a driver. I didn't, you know, you were given the opportunity, which trade you preferred, whether a wireless op, which I didn't fancy. So, a driver. Yes, there was nothing else. In fact, I had driven tractors. There weren't many about in those days, when my father being a horseman. It was all horses at home, but I had driven tractors. And, yes, a driver I wanted to be in.
So you did your basic training. I mean, was there a lot of square bashing?
Yeah, quite a bit.
How did you take to that?
Quite good. Yeah, enjoyed it, in fact. Mm. Yeah.
How did you get on with the NCOs? You know, how did they treat you?
Fairly sharp, fairly strong, the NCOs. Barring there was Lance Jacks, which I got in trouble. Because you had to pass a little square piece of ply with your name on, or with your number, or a pass go out. And within the first week, I'd forgotten to take it to the guard room, and I went to go back for it, and then I was told I wasn't allowed out by a Lance Corporal, and he said, I'll be waiting for you if you go. I said, well, I'll be back in 10 minutes, and it'll take more than you to stop me.
So what happened to you?
Oh, I got put on charge because I put him on his back and, yeah. So, and it went a bit further. I went out and then a regimental police was waiting for me when I came back to the guard room. And I put one of those on their back. And he was a big man. And the others didn't come near me. So, then a man by the name of Major Lewis, which I was on a charge. And this, I hadn't been in a fortnight, and he said, you must be fairly used over your hands. And he said, would you like to join the boxing team? I said, yes. And from then on, the food I didn't like. I never, bananas I lived on before I joined the forces. The bulk of it, yes, I had eggs and bacon for breakfast, but cooked meals wasn't. Then you had special food, and you had all the privileges. You had, when you had a, yes, I had quite, I suppose altogether, I had about 50 fights in the forces. But against the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, also the police force, I think 13.
Right. So they were, I mean, it was quite lucky that that major saw your potential, that, you know, you weren't...
Oh, no, I would have been invited anyway to go on the boxing team, but I'd also had 13 summonses off the police when I joined the forces. Not a policeman had it in for me, such as when we at SL stock out when I joined up. In fact, I've got the catalogue there in the other room, which you had to enter when you sold cattle. And you were allowed to, I think, 24 hours to enter it. And if it wasn't entered, you were summonsed. And the man saw me at the sales selling cattle, and he was there within, oh, it was over the 24 hours. And my mother had forgot to fill them in. And she said, oh, I hadn't entered these, and he grabbed her by the arm. So I put him on his back. I did warn him to take his hands off her, and he didn't. So, it was all minor things, such as stopped me in a van with the tail out, and I tapped it with my foot and it came on. Nothing, but I did wait for him after when I came out, when I came home on leave. And I think I'd have put him in hospital if he'd come round, but lucky I waited on the roof of a factory and he didn't come round.
So how did you take to the discipline in the army when you were doing your basic training?
I kicked over the traces, but didn't get me anywhere. I had an instructor kick me. We were on a long table, and it was a bit boring, and I fell asleep. And the man opposite, or sat next to me either side, I can't remember now, his feet was sticking out like that under the table, and the instructor was there, and he thought they were my feet, and he see I was falling asleep, and he went and kicked, which he thought were my feet, and they weren't. It was the bloke next to me, and the bloke jumped up in the air, and I woke up, and he realized he'd made a mistake, and he said, I'll see you behind the gym. And I just said, what time? And then he found out I could use my hands a bit, so he didn't bother. So, that was it. I was kept as a driving instructor at the 57th, but then it came down that there was only downgraded men had to be kept. So the only place they could hold me was in the regimental police.
Right.
And I didn't fancy that job.
Uh-huh. So let's just stick with basic training for the moment. So apart from the square bashing, what else did they teach you there? Did you do weapons training?
Yes. Yes. Mostly machine guns. Yeah, we did on the old sand tables, we called them. You know, we had turrets of tanks with tables with all roads, fields, farms, and that, and countryside to give you the rough idea, which it was only a light, not ammunition fired. It was only a light, which you were in an imitation turret, and the light came on to it. The commander gave you a target to get on to, and to see how good you were getting on to that target.
Right. In so the this beginning. Was a mock-up of a turret, was it?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, it was quite a row of them, you know, with the sand table. Oh, 30, 40 yards long.
Right.
And, yeah, quite interesting, you know, because it was all miniature farms and everything on there, like, to give you a... well, the word of command, so that you knew what you were on, like trees or and ranges for the gunnery. And of course, driving, you had your driving, your driver mech exams to go through as well with this.
And that driving you coped with quite well, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else did they teach you?
I think I got away with quite a little in the... one reason I broke my hand. Boxing. Yeah. Fighting the police force. I did explain to you I had a policeman that was on my back and I was on... And in fact, I'd injured my hand. And I fought as a middleweight. And I went to see Major Lewis because my... I wasn't married then, but I was courting my wife, and her mother had died, and you had 4 days leave, and I went and had an interview with the major, and he said, why do you want this? And I showed him a telegram, and he said, well, you'd have 4 days leave in any case. I said, no, I'd rather earn it. And he said, well, your place is taken. He said, but we haven't got a light heavyweight. And I said, I'll take it. But he said, you've injured your hand. I said, yes, it'll be all right. And, of course, I finished up in Shaftesbury Hospital with a broken hand. And I can remember the Canadians were on... I was in hospital at Shaftesbury when the Canadians landed at Dieppe.
So tell me about this boxing when you were at Warminster. Where did you do the boxing?
Oh, sometimes it was all sometimes outdoors, mm-hmm. and sometimes in the cookhouse, quite a big cookhouse. There was quite a few on the regimental boxing team.
And would I mean most people would come and watch the fights, would they?
Oh yes, but a lot of it was into squadron at Warminster. When you know, you fought the Air Force, you travelled a bit, and you travelled different places, and offhand, I couldn't tell you where we travelled altogether.
How many were in the boxing team?
8 or 9, I would say.
Did you always win?
I had 13 top, yes, I never got beaten in the arm, even with a broken hand. I broke into the first punch, and I went 3 rounds, and I still won. And I can remember the trainer, even his name, Corporal Everson.
What was he like? Was he good?
Oh, yeah. A champion of India. I was middleweight champion of Southern Command. He was champion of India and a good boy, knew his job. But I also had, before I joined the forces, a lot of... My brother-in-law's father was a boxing promoter. And I fought as a midget in the Market Hall of Philly and Somerton Park, Ninian Park, all on big fights. As many as we were 3 rounds, 3 2-minute rounds. 9, 10 years of age. So, and I had, which I was a member of St. Ifrig's, it was the old Catholic hall then. I had the O'Connor boys, Danny and Johnny O'Connor. Very good boxers.
So, Warminster, you were there for how long? Was it 6 weeks or a bit more?
Or more. Yes, I went from Warminster up to Catrick with them, with the 57th.
Oh, right, with the 57th. So when your basic training was finished, you stayed with the 57th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I had a broken hand for quite a while.
Right, okay.
I'd broken it in 9 places. It was in a bit of a, that's the old hand there.
That would take a bit of mending.
Yes, yeah. And then we went up to Catrick, mm-hmm. and that's when I got put onto the regimental police. He told me that they couldn't hold me as a driving instructor. The post office, first of all, I was put in for a day or so, and then onto the regimental police. And I didn't fancy it one bit.
Did you actually start with them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I was on the regimental police about 3 days. And then I had an interview with the major and said I didn't fancy the job. And he said, well, it'll mean a post then. And then I was posted to Bovington.
Oh, right, yeah. So, who did you join at Bovington?
Well, I wasn't there very long and I was in trouble when I got there.
Which unit were you put with at Bovington? Or
I couldn't tell you.
In general?
No.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what.
Yeah. Right.
I know I was on a charge when I got there.
What did you do?
Well, it was snowing and I missed my connection in Cardiff and the RTO said he would sign my pass if I stayed on the station all night. And I said, well, I've got a bed about 10 mile up the line. I can catch the same train next morning, which I did. But when I got there, I was on charge.
So you were finding out that the army didn't like you sort of being independent and able to look after yourself in a way.
Oh, yes. Oh, I got away with murder. Oh, yeah.
What happened with that charge?
And nothing happened.
Nothing.
As I got in, major, a captain, hat off, march in, left, right, left, and he said, I see by your report here, you've done quite a bit of boxing. I said, yes. He said, you played a bit of rugby. I said, yes. He said, we got a match tomorrow, do you want a game? I said, I don't mind. Nothing was said about the charge. I got dismissed. Walked outside with a smile on my face. The sergeant major that had put me in 2 minutes before marched me straight back in and I still come out and still wasn't on charge.
So really your sporting ability was a great protection.
Oh, yes. Yeah, marvellous.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. all the food you liked. I was very fussy. I didn't eat. With the 57th, I went behind in the cookhouse. Or quite a few of us, you know, we had special food. So you benefited that way, and it was still finicky with my food today. But you had what you wanted.
How did the other people, the other, you know, rank and file, feel about you getting this special treatment?
I don't think it mattered to them, really. No. They could have had the same if they wanted to put a set of gloves on, couldn't they? So it was, no, I don't think. They had a...
Were they proud of their boxing team? And
oh, yes. Oh, the 57th, yeah, great. Mm. Boxing was the main thing with the 57th.
So you were quite a bit of a hero to some of the men there.
Yes, I can remember Major Lewis, the name. He was a great sportsman. He was a solicitor in Civvy Street. And when I got put on those 13 summons, when they had them, he said, "Now look." I said, "Send it home. My mother and my parents will deal with it." And he said, "I was a solicitor. Listen to me," he said. "I was a solicitor in Civvy Street." He said, "Offer to pay him sixpence a week." He said, "And they can't refuse." And I'll tell you what, I think the charge, a lot of them was never paid. Never.
So what was life like at Bovington then? What were you doing there?
Wasn't here all that long.
Uh-huh.
I played one game of rugby. I don't think there was a week, 10 days. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I was going to be sent to Tunis from there. And because this was before I could put, before I met the major, I was going to Tunis, and being as I was on a charge, I was going to have to travel down the hold of the ship. I said, "We'll see when we get there." Went up to Scotland as a waiting man. Sent back. And then I was posted to the Fife.
Right, okay. So where were the Fife and Forfar when you joined them?
Chippenham Park.
Chippenham?
Yeah. Just outside Newmarket.
Right. Chippenham
Park.
Park.
Big estate it
Newmarket,
was.
Newmarket, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so you actually had a regiment of your own. You didn't choose the Fife and Forfar?
No, no.
No. So what did you think of joining them? Were you pleased?
Not in the beginning. The bagpipes playing. Got put on a charge before I even signed in.
What did you do?
Laughed, that's all. I reckon there was a man, they were mounting the guard when we joined them. And I was speaking to Fiddler not very long ago, asking him could he remember. And he couldn't. We got there as they were mounting guard, and there was a man on guard, I reckon, with the biggest head in the British Army. And we didn't have the old helmets. We had the same helmets as the paratroopers, you know, no rim. They came straight down over. And this, I can see him now, ginger-headed, with the biggest head and the smallest tin hat in the British Army, I reckon, on his head, and it looked like Lauren Hardy stuck on top. And I started to laugh. And I got put on a fizzer before I'd even been signed in.
So what was your reception like? Were they sort of proud of their regiment? And
oh, yes. Yes, it... I joined A Squadron. And I don't know whether it was being put on a charge for laughing. I was sent to HQ Squadron. And I blew the stove out. Well, it... I can't remember. It was just before Christmas or just after Christmas.
When you joined them?
Yes. Mm. And the bagpipes were playing. And when you go back off leave... just before Christmas or just after, I can't remember. It's not the best time to go back, like I said. And somebody in HQ or the bagpipes playing, and I said, "Some handy mob, this is." And a voice came up, "If you don't like it, you know what to do, get out." And then he came to fight and talk, and I said, "Well, fair enough. There's plenty of room outside. Let's go out." And all of a sudden, a voice came, and he said, "No, he said, you're good enough for us. Stay there." And the this and that was next door to an ammunition tent. And I thought I'd liven things up a bit, and I went and got a lot of duff rounds and stuck them in the stove and blew it out.
Len Harkins, end of reel 1.